Let me begin with a question for you. I want you to think of one wish for God to grant you. Yes, for you personally. What would it be? Now, don't ask for small stuff. Think big. And be careful not to choose one that matters only few hours or few months or even few years. Choose one thing that will trump all other earthly desires and wishes. What would it be? If I were you, I would choose one wish that will last forever and benefit me eternally. What would be that wish of yours? Now let me tell you what mine is. I want to be in the presence of God forever. As King David prayed in today's text, I would ask the Lord, please set me in your presence forever. Now come to think of it, all the things that you and I do as a believer in Christ boil down to one aim that we have, to be in the presence of God for eternity. We do the following. We believe in the name of Jesus and we repent and we are baptized. We receive the Holy Spirit. We keep Jesus' commandments and we read the Bible and pray. Go to church and worship and we serve and we do good. We forgive and we stay away from evil. We all do all of these things so that we may be in the presence of God. Now before I dig deeper, let me explain to you what I mean by being in the presence of God. The English phrase, "in the presence of God," is a direct translation of Hebrew expression, "before the face of God." So may I say, to be in the presence of God means to stand before God or to see God face to face. I looked up in the Bible what exactly means, and there are close to 100 times the phrase "in the presence of God" appears in the entire Bible. And this is what I discovered. It simply means to be in fellowship with God. You knew that already, right? And to be in fellowship with God means to be a friend of God. By the way, when you get together with your friends, what do? This is what I do. When I get together with my friends, we eat and drink together, we dine together, and we talk and listen to each other, and we have fun together, and cry together, and laugh together, and suffer together. That's where the English word sympathy comes from. So we do with our God. Being in fellowship with God, we do all these things I just mentioned together with Him. But there are more things that there are more benefits when we are in fellowship with God. We find rest, we find peace and joy and love and righteousness and wisdom and strength and courage. All of these are available when we are in fellowship with God. Let me tell you this, we are truly blessed to have fellowship with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Before we came to know Jesus, the Bible says we were all sinners and enemies of God and the outsiders of salvation and the outsiders of the fellowship with God. However, we became reconciled with God and became friends with God when we confessed our sins and received forgiveness through Christ's atonement, means that He died on the cross on our behalf. From then on, we have fellowship with God. We are in His presence. Romans 8:39 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, so good. Did you know, however, There are dangers out there lurking on us to destroy our fellowship with God. Now, let me tell you my experience with my gardening. I'm a city boy. Okay, as I grew up, I never even touched one plant. Let me put that way. We started with a great ambition, okay, this year. We're going to have a great crops, whatever. And my idea of gardening is that, you know, sunshine a little bit every day, and watering, that's my part. That's all I do. No, it wasn't so. I discovered that there's things that crawl around and critters, you know, eat them up. That's enough trouble for me. But then I also saw, just below the leaves, there's something greenish, whatever we call pests. And I said, wow, this is too much, isn't it? Dangers are out there on our spiritual journey to heaven, lurking on us to destroy our fellowship with God. I would call those things fellowship breakers. These fellowship breakers at first don't look too harmful to our relationship with God. However, they will chip off our fellowship with God little by little, and we will be drifted away from God day by day without even realizing. When left unchecked and not corrected periodically, they will eventually bring forth our removal from God's presence. I'm using the right words from the Bible. Look what happened to the people of Israel in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 20. It was too long for me to list in the bulletin. Now, the author of the 2 Kings, this history of the kingdoms of Israel, and he was baffled when he was writing this. What happened to the kingdom of Israel? What happened to the promise of God to King David? He said, I'll make your kingdom last long, for a long time. But just about 400 years, that was about. And he came to the conclusion that after looking very carefully, and he came to the conclusion that the reason why we came to this point is because of our ancestors' evil ways before the Lord. They lost their fellowship with God, and they were, once again, using the right word from the scripture, removed from God's presence. What caused them to get to that point? The writer says, the evil things that they sold themselves to for centuries. In my humble opinion, the desire to obey God was not there in their hearts. And you're about to hear some things that they did, written in the Bible, and that grieved God. Stubborn heart. I'm one of them, folks. Ask my wife. She'll tell you how stubborn I am. Seriously. You think, oh no, I don't have stubborn heart. Stubborn heart is like refuse to listen. That's what it is. Rebellion against God and unbelief and idolatry. Worshipping the idols. It's not just molten images you bow to, no. Even the covetousness. If you covet something, the Bible says it's idolatry. Also, arrogance. I'm one of them too. Rejection of God's commands and divination and enchantments. That means magic. All these things the people of Israel did all for centuries when they knew 10 commandments. Basically, those things are called sin in the Bible. Whatever grieves the Lord and whatever provokes God to anger. And those things are detrimental to our fellowship with the Lord. Left unchecked and unrepented for a long time, they can cost us the presence of the Lord in our lives, both in this life and in the life to come. Now think of the Israelites who lost their privilege of being in the presence of God. Do not think that they didn't have second or third chance to repent, or do not think that the Lord Jehovah God has not been patient with them. In fact, the Lord has been long-suffering with them since the time of Exodus. You may wonder, when was the Exodus? And here's the timeline for you to consider. God made the covenant with Abraham about 2,000 years before Christ was born. You got that picture? And Exodus happened about 600 years later, around 1400. And entering the promised land, you know, again, 1406. And kingdom of God, kingdom of Israel, established about 1043. About 1,000 years before Christ was born. And kingdom was divided about 100 years later into two, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Kingdom of Israel, northern kingdom fell 300 years later. And then southern kingdom fell about 150 years later. So between the first covenant with Abraham and the time Israel was completely removed from God's presence, there are 1500 years. During this time, God has been patient with his people, and in fact, he repeatedly sent his prophets to bring them back to him, to no avail. So in the end, the Bible said the Lord was very angry with Israel, and Israel was removed from his presence. It would be just the foolish of us if we ignore the lesson in history, in the history of God's people. And some of us may think that our salvation in Jesus, I'm applying the lesson to us today, some of us think that our salvation in Jesus is secured no matter what we do, even when we do not repent our willful sin against God. And some of us may be falsely assured in the past that once salvation is given and we never lose it, even when we walk in darkness, even when we remain in sin unrepented. Let me take, again, let's say a hypothetical example. For instance, let's say I have not forgiven someone in my life for 30 years, okay? Let's say that I know I'm to obey the Lord's command by forgiving that person, but some reason I did not. And that's a willful sin, isn't it? What I mean by willful sin is that I know what is right and not doing it. That's willful. And let's further say that the Holy Spirit convicted me repeatedly that I was disobeying the Lord by refusing to forgive someone in my life. If you think my willful sin is bad enough, the refusal to forgive and to repent is far dangerous because it may cost me eternal life. The life in God's presence for eternity. Now consider this. God invites you and me to be in his presence through Jesus. And Jesus and the angels of the Lord and the apostles and all the saints are in the presence of God now. And they are waiting for us to join them. It would be a huge and great mistake with eternal consequences if you and I neglect this great privilege by our unwillingness to repent. If we continue on stubborn heart and arrogance, we may end up joining the other side, which is called hell, where the devil and all his followers, both spirits and humans, are going to be. You know, I discovered in the scripture one thing they have in common is that disobedience to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the scripture says that those folks are already separated from God's presence. Their faith is sealed and revealed in the Bible as follows. I'm quoting 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9, which says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Pay attention to the next phrase, separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. May we never be separated from the presence of the Lord. That's my prayer for myself and prayer for you too. Now, I don't want to end my sermon with a downtone. If there are fellowship breakers like sin that derail us off our heaven-bound journey, and there are things that would restore us back to the fellowship with God, even after the fellowship is broken temporarily. I would call them fellowship antidotes. And we have to use them as often as we find ourselves infected with the symptoms of fellowship breakers in our lives. There are two fellowship antidotes. Number one is repentance, and number two is humility. I want you to think of King David. Oh yes, everyone knows that he's, you know, five little stones and Goliath story, but some of us are not familiar with King David, who did terrible things. First of all, he committed adultery with someone else's wife, and later on, to cover up, he killed the husband of the wife. And he thought it was okay, he was a king after all, and he tried to cover up until God sent his prophet Nathan to confront him. You are the man. And he repented of his grave sin in humility. Can you imagine King kneeling on his knees in front of his subjects? I'm the one who committed this sin. He repented his sin in humility, and the scripture says he was pardoned by God. Now, his fellowship with God at the time of sinning was totally broken by his sins, yet it was restored through his humble penitence. Psalm 51 is the good place to go. I'm going to read three verses there. This is what he prayed to God. In the midst of repentance, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Once again, he's begging God, Lord, please cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Caught my attention when he says, please cast me not away from thy presence. He was fully aware of the danger of losing God's presence. One last thing. Most of us think that being in God's presence is a remote future possibility. In other words, when I die, yes, I go in God's presence. However, you don't have to wait. You don't have to die to be in God's presence. In fact, you can experience the presence of God here and now, every day and every moment. And I brought this little booklet called The Practice of the Presence of God. I bought this copy, you know, 20 years ago. A small book, about less than 100 pages, written by the brother Lawrence, but actually written by his friend, where brother Lawrence, practiced the presence of God every single day through faith and love and prayer and meditation of God's Word. I don't have time to go over what he did, but if you're interested in borrowing this book, I'm willing to lend you. Let me remind you once again the meaning of being in the presence of God. It means to appear before God, seeing him face to face. It means enter into God's presence and look at his face without fear. It also means having an audience with God one-on-one. As I said, you can do this while you are still living on earth. And one way to do it is prayer. Yeah, you heard about many a time the prayer. And I'm about to offer a challenge for everyone this morning. 333. Easy to remember. 333. 3 minutes a day and 3 weeks and for three things. The challenge goes, starting today for the next 3 weeks, spend at least 3 minutes each day. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing more than 3 minutes a day. In God's presence in prayer. Let me suggest three things you do in your prayer. Number one, remember. Number two, repent. Number three, renew. Remember your covenant with God. Remember that God is your God and you are his child. Number two, repent of any sin that has been detrimental to your fellowship with God And do not leave any sin unrepented. That's when you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything that I need to repent of? Number three, renew. Renew your covenant with God by recommitting yourself to God. Scripture says, offer your body as a living sacrifice and members as instrument of righteousness and joy and peace. Remember, repent, and renew. Every day, 3 minutes and 3 weeks, and doing three things. Now, those who would like to accept this challenge, I'm going to ask you to arise to your feet. If you'd like to, you don't have to. Okay, but if you'd like to take this challenge and practice for the next 3 weeks, please stand on your feet, because I'm going to say a prayer for you. And those of you who stood, and those of you sitting, and I'd like to say a prayer after me. Okay, I'll go slow, and let's say this prayer from our hearts. Lord, I am eternally grateful,
Lord, I am eternally grateful
for salvation through Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord.
I am also grateful
for the fellowship with you in Jesus.
You are my Father,
and I am your child.
I am your friend.
If I have been disobedient to you willfully,
please forgive my stubbornness and arrogance.
I repent of all my sins.
I offer myself
as a living sacrifice
and instruments of righteousness.
Use me for your glory and honor.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for the forgiveness.
Thank you for the restored fellowship with you.
Thank you for keeping me in your presence.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.